Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, November 14th, 2022. It is frigid cold here, broadcasting live to you from Florissant, Missouri. It seems like winter has come to Missouri a little bit early this year. They're even talking about a dusting of snow tomorrow morning when I'm driving. Oh, that's going to be fun. But that's not the subject, of course, of today's program. I'm continuing my special coverage of the uprising. We are the revolution, the women's revolution in Iran. It's been 60-plus days since the tragic, brutal death of Mahsa Amini, which was the catalyst for everything that's been happening. And it shows no signs of slowing down, even with the IRGC brutally attacking protesters, innocent, peaceful protesters, firing pellets, live ammunition, beating young girls to death. It shows no sign of slowing down because the people of Iran are at the end of the road. They no longer can sustain the oppression that they have been suffering for 43 years. And here lately on the broadcast, I've opened up our time together by reporting on some very tragic stories. And I have another one to share with you this morning. In fact, a couple. I'll go over it with you. It's another devastating loss of young, beautiful, innocent Iranian women. 19-year-old Yalda Aghbazali. She was arrested by security forces in Iran during the protests. I don't know when. She was held in prison for 10 days. And after her release, she was released 10 days. She was in prison. It was shortly after her release that she committed suicide. And according to the social media report I had from yesterday, her burial was yesterday. It's tragic beyond words. If they aren't beaten to death for their protest for freedom, then they end up committing suicide. The suicide rate among women in Iran is very high. Many of them commit what's called self-immolation. They set themselves on fire because they have no hope. All hope has been crushed. Now, I'm talking today, though, about courageous, very courageous, strong, brave Iranian women and men. This poor little girl, just 19 years old, her whole life ahead of her. She was arrested and been in prison and then released. We don't know if she was raped, probably. But it was shortly after her release that she took her life. Iranian women. There are many courageous ones, but there are those that just can't handle the oppression. And Yalda was one of those. I just ask that all of us that listen to the broadcast today would please pray for this young girl's family and the devastating trauma that they are experiencing with the loss of their beautiful daughter. I came across an urgent notice also. It's from a Twitter account, and it's in reference to two members of parliament from Iran, from the Islamic Republic, that are currently here in the United States. Kazim Gharib Abadi, he's a deputy to Islamic Republic judiciary. This same judiciary that he's a member of has imprisoned over 12,000 protesters, issuing death sentences. Also, Zore Elian, she's also a member of parliament, and she's also asked for the death penalty for protesters. Apparently, these two individuals are here currently in the United States. I don't know why. And the notice says that we, as Americans, should demand that they be arrested and deported. We're to contact the United States State Department as soon as possible. I couldn't agree more. Why are they given any kind of sanctuary or entrance to our country when they are treating their own people in such barbaric manners? But I think that we should take notice of that and do something about that, because it is horrible, to say the least. Also, I wanted to report on another brave Iranian. Hundreds of courageous of Iranians have gathered outside the Day Hospital in Tehran in support of unjustly imprisoned prominent activist and blogger Hussein Ronaghi. He's been hospitalized and in critical condition after 50 days of being on a hunger strike. Ronaghi was arrested way back in September, on September 24th, after speaking out against a crackdown on nationwide protests. So he is a journalist, a prominent activist, a blogger, and he's been in very serious condition in a hospital in Tehran. He's on a hunger strike to bring world attention to the cause that we should be involved in. And that brings me to the subject for today's program. It's a simple question, but we're going to talk about it. Why should Christians be supportive or be interested in the protests going on in Iran? I'm going to have about a seven-minute soundbite story that will answer that question, that will give us a little context. We're going to talk about that. And then later on, I want to talk about a subject that I struggle with. My good friend Heather Joy, who is becoming a regular guest on the program, in her first appearance a couple weeks ago, talked about her anger as a Christian toward the government of Iran, the way they treat people, the way they oppress their own people and brutally murder them, especially now during the protests. And she was extremely angry. She wanted God to judge and to really just kill the IRGC for the way they treat people. And then she found out that that wasn't a good, healthy Christian attitude. Well, I feel her pain, and I go through this myself. And today I'm going to be talking about how we as Christians need to react to the evil going on in Iran. I'm going to be talking about something called the imprecatory Psalms. You may or may not have heard about it, but I want to talk about that and what God's Word says we as Christians, how we should react to this, what we should be doing. We certainly should be praying, as Heather and I talked about in our first program together. But what about how we should pray? Look at what this government is doing to its people, to these young school girls, to these young teenage girls that are simply peacefully protesting for freedom, and how they treat them, rape them, torture them, kill them. It's very hard sometimes as Christians to hold back on just wanting God to destroy and judge this government. But we need to chill out and look very carefully at what God's Word says, how we should react to the sea. Well, we're going to talk about that later. I want us to go through this. You might be listening and feel the same way. Why is this evil allowed to continue? How should we pray? What should we think when we think about this government? How should Christians react? Should we return evil for evil? We're going to answer these are important questions that all of us battle with and all of us struggle with from time to time. But the first thing I want to do, I found this very informative story on the internet from a Christian ministry, and it asks the question why Christians should care about what's going on in Iran. Why Iran? So I want you to sit back for the next 7 minutes. I want you to listen to this, and we'll come back and discuss it.
It is 7 a.m. I'm in the Istanbul airport, and I just got off the plane from a country you've probably heard a lot in the news lately, Iran.
Protests in Iran. That's
where Iran were an unprecedented wave.
Iranian crackdown on anti-government protesters.
Over the last few years, you've probably gotten used to seeing protests and demonstrations breaking out all over the world, so it's easy to miss the significance of what's been happening in Iran for the past few weeks. This is no ordinary protest. Street demonstrations started in mid-September after news broke out that a 22-year-old woman named Mahsa Amini
died in custody after being detained by morality police for allegedly not covering her hair properly.
Since then, Iran has been in a state of internal turmoil. Many have been arrested, many have died, and the government has shut off the internet to block communication to the outside world. I mean, when I was in Iran, it took me 2 whole days just to send out one email. So you can imagine what it's like for locals who are just trying to communicate with their loved ones on the outside, but can't. So the church in Iran has faced tremendous persecution by the government for many years, but they're not the only ones who have suffered. Iranians are fighting against violent forces and internet blackouts, and now their story is getting out to the world. But the question for Christians is, are we listening? To understand what's happening today, we have to go back to 1979. When the Islamic regime took control of the government and, among many other things, established an Islamic morality police to enforce a dress code that includes requiring women, Muslim or not, to wear head coverings called hijabs. But this is about more than just head coverings.
Iranians on the streets are not against any religion. They're not against Islam. They're not against God. They're not against Christianity.
This is Milad and Rauf Hafsa, a young Iranian couple who fled the country after facing pressure and harassment from the authorities because of their Christian faith.
They're asking and fighting for human rights, for the right that every people should have to decide what to wear. And it's bigger than just hijab issue. The whole system, the history of 43 years of this regime proved that Iranians don't want this regime to rule anymore. So many churches in the West are partnering with Iranian Christians to reach Iran for Christ, which I love, I appreciate, and that's great. But you know what? Iranians need to be alive first, then we can share the good news with them. When our Lord Christ is looking at us, He's not seeing us as American church, Iranian church, church in Europe, church in China. He sees church as His body. So whatever happening, mostly an injustice like this, should affect us as believers. Not just because they're Iranian Christian, because they're Iranian. And not just that, because they're human. Those who are created in God's image. And they are dying brutally on the street.
Iran has more than 86 million people and is seeing major advances in gospel movement, more than we've seen since the 7th century. At the same time, there is a great amount of persecution and oppression, ranking Iran as the 13th country with most urgent spiritual needs and the 9th most dangerous country for Christians to live. As I spoke further with Milad and Gukhafta, it became clear why this moment in Iran was particularly significant, why these protests were different.
it's mostly start with women, and then a young generation that they didn't see the last revolution in Iran. And then from the youngest, like 10 years old people, kids, and until 18 years old people.
And the pioneer of these protests are women. And I, as a man, I'm so proud of the women of Iran.
Well, it's not the first time Iranians have protested in the streets. It is the first time in decades that this many women have publicly defied the regime. And many of them are young, like in high school. Given how far this may seem to many of us, we might be tempted to not pay attention to the injustices that are happening at this very moment. But not listening to stories like these has very real consequences.
And the last time, a couple of years ago, when they cut off the internet, they killed brutally 1,500 people. And it can happen, and this time the number can be much bigger. So don't be silent. If by now you're watching this, the protests are still continuing in Iran, be their voice.
Men and women, they are in the street. Please, be voice for them. They are putting everything of their life. Go to the street and fight for their life. Because I think their life, they are living in Iran, it matters. It doesn't matter what kind of mindset we have, but they are putting their life in the position of danger, in the position of so many blood in the street. So please, pray and also be voice for them, because they need that voice right now.
So let's listen to our brothers and sisters in Iran. And as Christians, now is the time for us to pray for peace, for justice, and for the hope and love of Jesus to be made known in Iran. Christ is not far from their pain and their suffering, but Christ's kingdom is also one of justice. So as we pray, let's also speak the truth of the gospel that brings hope and shines light on the injustices happening around the world.
Well, there you have it. An Iranian couple that had to leave the country because of their Christian faith and the persecution is reaching out to us and giving us good reasons why we support and pray for the Iranian people, especially as Christians. They're our brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter what background, doesn't matter what country they live in, we need to support them. They're the persecuted church. And the underground church or the house church movement in Iran is one of the biggest in the world. They are very energetic, bold Christians that meet together. They have to meet, of course, secretly because of government persecution, but they're out on the streets. And most of the house churches are led by women in Iran. Isn't that fantastic? Well, recently, they put together a statement. Iranian Christians who live in Iran put together a special statement in support of the protests. And they signed this joint statement, and this was shortly after Mahsa Amini's death. And I want to read this statement. It's coordinated by KAMA, which is the Church is the Right of All Christians camp in Iran. And here's what they said in support of the protesters out on the street. We are very pained and angry about the murder of Mahsa Amini. As before, our hearts are crushed and bleeding from the countless murders of freedom-loving men and women. But we don't think it's enough to only express our solidarity in words and instead want to join in practical action against this bloodthirsty 43-year-old infection on our society. For days, the brave people of Iran have come to the streets to take a stand against oppression, tyranny, and dictatorship. Men and women, old and young, from different ethnic groups and religions are shouting for freedom, equality, and justice, a loud cry that comes from throats full of pain and suffering, a suffocating suppression of more than 40 years. Despite the fact that the regime has pointed guns and tear gas at the people and has narrowed the internet channel These days, we are witnessing more and more people's courage, dedication, and unification with the intention of a complete revolution, a revolution against oppression, which not only aims to destroy women, but also to destroy human beings and humanities. We Christians have not been spared from the brutal repression since the first day that the Islamic Republic stepped into our country, from serial murders to imprisonment, torture, humiliation, rejection, flogging, exile, force veiling, deprivation of privacy even in our own homes, deprivation of work and education, confiscation of property, and destruction of our churches, which are only part of the regime's desperate attempt to crush us. We have suffered, but we have not retreated. For our messianic beliefs and belief in freedom and choice of thought, by saying a firm no to compulsory religion, we have proudly accepted the punishment of standing and resisting for years, both ourselves and our families. We all sympathize. Our pain comes from the wound caused by the sharp claws of oppression on our bodies, a body that is taller these days, but screams for freedom with all of its heart. So we are with each other, and we stay, and we are not afraid. As we consider ourselves a part of the body of society and not separate from it, we are still with each other in nationwide protests and for people's rights inside and outside of Iran, both virtually and on the ground. We continue, and we share in the cost of fighting for Iran's freedom from captivity and darkness. And below this statement is the signature of 300 Iranian Christians, a beautiful statement of standing in solidarity with the Christians and the people of Iran out on the street with the women, the young women, the schoolgirls, everyone that's out there and putting their lives in the line for freedom. It was a few weeks ago that I had a special guest named Heather Joy on the program who has a prophetic ministry to the Iranian people. She meets with them online and prays with them, ministers to them. She's even actually here in the States met a few of Iranians that have migrated here. So she has an impressive, just a beautiful ministry among Iranians, and I share that with her. We talked when she was on the program about the importance of intercessory prayer, the importance of breaking strongholds, demonic strongholds. We both discussed that this is really a spiritual warfare, that there are real demonic territorial spirits that have imprisoned the Iranian people for more than 43 years, and it requires diligent, daily, intercessory prayer to break those strongholds. And I want to just say in passing that Heather is going to be my guest this Thursday again. And she is going to talk about the subject of deliverance and personal one-on-one ministry to Iranians in Iran online. She does this regularly. So she's going to talk about the importance of dealing with Iranians who are Christians that have suffered devastating oppression in their personal lives, and they need some real biblical help with what they're going through, and she will discuss that with us. But I talked to you today about intercessory prayer, and I want to shift the focus just a little bit here about the Christian's attitude toward what is going on in Iran. And I came across this very interesting passage of Scripture from Psalm 149. And I want you to hear this, starting at verse 5. It says, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their robes and nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. That is an interesting bit of prayer and warfare put together. We are to praise God with our life, praise God in our praying, to be joyful, sing aloud on our beds, the praise of God be in our mouths, but we carry a two-edged sword. What is that talking about? Well, in one sense, with prophetic warfare, we use the word of God in demolishing strongholds. So it can reference the spiritual warfare that we conduct as well as having praise. But in context, it's also talking about Israel bringing judgment upon the heathen nations that oppose God. Now, that's a very interesting psalm, and it brought up the subject for today's program. The idea of the evil that Heather and I witness in Iran, how do we react to it? In our humanness, in our fleshliness, we're angry at sin. We're angry at injustice. And sometimes we're tempted to say, God, intervene in a judgmental way. And that brings up the whole issue of our attitude toward evil and something called the imprecatory psalms. I want to share this with you this morning. I want us to get a biblical response to the evil in Iran. You know, I just mentioned the book of Psalms here. It's rich with poetry, praise. It has joy, sorrow. It's written by several authors, mainly David. And there are different types of psalms: lament psalms, thanksgiving psalms, enthronement psalms, pilgrimage psalms, royal psalms, wisdom psalms, and imprecatory psalms. What does that mean? Well, an imprecation is a curse that involves misfortune upon someone. Imprecatory psalms are those in which the author imprecates. That is, he calls down calamity, destruction, and God's anger and judgment on his enemies. These psalms are found in Psalm 5, 10, 17, 35, 58, 59, 69, 70, 79, 83, 109, 129, 137, and 140. What is the language in these imprecatory psalms? Declare them guilty, O Lord. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. Psalm 5, verse 10. Rise up, Lord, confront them. Bring them down with your sword. Rescue me from the wicked. Psalm 17, 13. Listen to Psalm 79, verses 6 through 7. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and devastated his homeland. And then there's Psalm 137, verse 9. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Well, what do we do with this as Christians? Do we pray something like this against the Iranian government? Well, when you study these psalms, as I mentioned, the important thing you need to note is these psalms were not written out of vindictiveness or a need for personal vengeance. It may sound that way, but listen. Instead, these are prayers that keep God's justice, God's sovereignty, and his protection in mind. God's people had suffered much at the hands of those who opposed them. In context, it was the Hittites, the Amorites, the Phoenicians, the Babylonians. That's the subject of Psalm 137. These groups were not only the enemies of Israel, but they were also, of course, enemies of God, and they were degenerate. They were ruthless conquerors who had repeatedly tried to, but they had failed to destroy God's chosen people. These were God's enemies, Israel's enemies. In writing the imprecatory psalms, the authors sought vindication on God's behalf as much as they sought their own. Jesus himself quoted from imprecatory psalms, but here is the contrast, and here is what we are to do in light of the evil going on in Iran. While Jesus did quote some of the imprecatory Psalms, John 2:17, John 15:25, he also instructed us to love our enemies and pray for them. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. The New Testament makes it clear that our enemy is spiritual, not physical. We talked about this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is not sinful to pray the imprecatory psalms against our spiritual enemies, as I've mentioned before. But what else does the Bible say? It tells us we should pray with compassion and love and even thanksgiving for people who are used by the devil. 1 Timothy 2:1, pray for those in authority. We should desire the salvation of our enemies. Love your enemies, Jesus said. It doesn't mean condone their evil, absolutely not, but desire their salvation. Remember, Jesus had to confront his own disciples who wanted to call down fire and wrath in Samaria. He says, you don't even know what spirit you are when you say something like that. God is patient, the Bible says, not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone comes to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. So when we look at the evil that's going on in Iran and the way these young girls are being treated, bludgeoned to death, beaten to death, murdered, raped, we should pray for the enemies that God will intervene and save them. We should pray that God will use this protest to bring many to salvation in Christ. We are to seek God's will in this evil that's going on and leave the ultimate outcome to him. What do I mean for that? We're going to talk about that. But in conclusion of what I want to say, the bottom line to the imprecatory Psalms, it's communicating to you and me a deep yearning for justice, and that's good. It's written from the point of view of those who had been oppressed in biblical times. God's people have the promise, though, and here's the point I want to make, of his divine vengeance. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Luke chapter 18, verses 7 through 8. We are to pray and seek God's will for Iran. We are to pray for the evil government that's doing this to its own people. Pray for their salvation and let God have the final word. Heather was sharing with me at our prayer time just last night the story in Evan prison of a young Christian who was being tortured in solitary confinement. And his response to the torture was to show compassion and kindness and love for his interrogator and punisher. It sounds so counterproductive, but let me tell you what else she said. She knows through talking with her Iranian friends that there have been some guards later on that truly repented and came to faith in Christ. They left their position. Now, that is a direct response to what the Bible teaches we should do against the evil and the suffering caused by our enemies. This is what the Bible teaches. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. He'll do it. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Praying for God to soften the hard, evil heart of your enemy. And again, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's so against human nature to do this. We fight fire with fire. Does that mean that we don't defend ourselves? No, that's not what the scripture is talking about here. If someone breaks into your home and wants to attack you or hurt your wife or hurt you, you defend yourself. You certainly. That's very biblical. That's very human. But this is talking about someone like a Christian and in prison who is being tortured. Our response is just that. Show love in return for the evil. Show compassion in return for the hatred. You heap burning coals on your adversary's head. Don't be overcome by the evil, but overcome evil with good. Heather shared, the Lord confronted her about her intention against the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. She wanted them dead for the way they're treating protesters. And God confronted her and says, do not become like them, Heather. Pray for them. Do you know there has been people that have come out of the Iran Revolutionary Guard and have become Christians? I talked about one of them, Reza Muhammad. He lives here in the United States. He came out years ago. So this is our attitude. Leave room for God's wrath. Pray for our enemies. Show love and kindness to them. That doesn't mean that we condone at all the evil that is being done against the protesters. By no means is that what this is saying. But as Christians, we are to pray. We are to use kindness and love in opposition to hatred and evil. And pray for God to vindicate, bring justice to those that are being persecuted. Leave room for God's wrath. The Apostle Paul says here in Romans 12, this is not an easy thing to do, but it is the thing that Jesus taught us to do. And as I mentioned, the testimony of one prison guard in Evan Prison, he was shown kindness and love by a Christian prisoner. It made an impact on his soul. If we would have shown anything less than that and returned evil for evil, it would have never impacted this guard's life. But he saw the kindness and the love, and he could not resist that. That spoke to his hardened. So I know that this won't satisfy many people, but this is the answer we should have toward the evil in Iran. We pray. We break down strongholds in intercessory prayer. We pray for God to use this evil for his glory and good, to bring many to salvation in Christ. We pray that God would forgive the evil that's done to the protesters and that he would bring swiftly justice to the people of Iran. This is our response to the attitude and to the situation of Christians in Iran. I want us to pause now for just a couple of minutes and listen to a song of worship from Upper Room. This is a beautiful song called Tremble.
Love to see once again. I will pray.
Powerful worship music from Upper Room Tremble. We are in a war. Make no mistake, it is a spiritual war. We have weapons we use to support the people of Iran, but we do this with an attitude of love and humility. That is what we are taught to do, because that is the right response to this evil that we're dealing with. God will have a day of reckoning. Do not even question it. God will have the final say in all of this. I will see you again this Thursday. My guest then will be my special friend, Heather Joy, talking about deliverance means freedom. I will see you then. Have a great week. God bless you.